my gosh, this is episode 7.
I know.
It's been almost 2 months.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, so proud. All right. So, how are you doing, Crystal?
I'm doing okay. I have a lot of homework due because it is the time of the end of the semester. But I actually just finished my last week of like 3 a.m. classes this past week. So I actually will actually have some sort of a good sleep schedule from now on. And I have two like group papers to write, which is like fine because those are easy. Like group papers are always easy. And then I have two individual papers that are due in May. So I have, oh no, one is due next week, but I have like the next week to finish it. So yeah, I think it's okay. I'm just gonna, I feel like undergrad prepared me for like bullshitting essays really well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It really does though.
Mm-hmm. And I already like noticed the difference in my mood and stuff, like having actual good sleep. So.
I'm happy for you. Good sleep is important.
Yeah, so important. How about you?
Honestly, like I feel like every week I'm just stressing about the same thing. I'm stressing about what I'm gonna do after graduation, and now I'm like kind of stressing about like all of my final projects, presentation, and paper. I have a lot of presentation this upcoming week that I have to work on, and a lot of paper, and then I really suck at writing, so like I spend so much time on just one paper. So that's what I'm stressing about. But recently I got a jewelry DIY set thingy from Amazon. Basically it's just beads and like string. And then I made like little like rings for myself, like this one. And then I made like a few like bracelet
and
other rings too. Yeah. I love their colors. Yeah. It just helped me like de-stress and like yeah, and so I don't have to like focus on school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I make something instead of scrolling on Instagram.
A mood. Me debating if I should download TikTok. Okay. So are this or that this week? I guess it doesn't relate to our topic, but it is fun. We can talk about it. Would you prefer an egg tart or a Portuguese tart? Which I feel like not a lot of people know the difference of, actually.
Yeah, do you want to talk about the difference between the two?
Yeah, well, like, egg tart is originated from Hong Kong, and it is, like, the breading, like, the breading that the egg filling sits on, it's more, like,
crispy, right? And, like, layered.
No, Portuguese tart is the flaky one.
Flaky, yeah, flaky.
Yeah, egg tart is just, like, the more, like, kind of bread-like crust.
Oh, wait, are you talking about egg tart or Portuguese?
Egg tart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So egg tart is, like, the one that is from Hong Kong, and it's more bready, and it's more, like, it's less sweet, I would say, because Portuguese tart is the one that is from Macau, which is like a neighboring like little island near Hong Kong. It's like Hong Kong. It has its own jurisdiction and its own like government system and stuff, like separate from China. And it was taken over by the Portuguese like in the past. And so then they had these Portuguese egg tarts. And so Portuguese egg tarts are more flaky. They're more like oily too. They're more like the croissant kind of texture. And then the filling is kind of like egg tart, but then on the top, they like caramelize it with sugar. So it's often like kind of like burnt on the top, but it's so good. Yeah.
Love.
Also, I want to say that the egg tarts at 85 Degree Bakery that they sell are more like Portuguese tarts than they are egg tarts. Because they have the flaky. Yeah, they're flaky. They have the caramelized like layer on top. So,
yes.
So which one would you prefer?
I think I'll go with the classic egg tart. I like egg tart more just because I really like the crust. I like the bready kind of crust, and also, like, personally, I don't love, like, things that are super sweet, and oftentimes I feel like Portuguese tart are, like, too sweet for me, so I'll go with egg tart.
Yeah, I grew up eating egg tart, but I think in the recent years, I discovered Portuguese tart. Not the recent years, like the past like 5 years or so, I started really liking Portuguese tarts because I love that crust. So yeah, Portuguese tart. I think sometimes like the egg tart crust is too much for me. It's so like dense that I feel like it's hard buttery. For me to mm-hmm. And when I was younger, when I ate egg tarts, I would just scoop out the middle and I wouldn't eat the crust.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, because I was like, this is too much. I know the middle part is the best part. Yeah, but I think Portuguese tarts.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, a different answer.
Yeah. All right, so what are we going to talk about this week?
Tiger moms. Kind of.
Yeah, tiger moms.
Yeah. Summer came up with the idea of talking about parenting style because there is always a stereotype of Asian parents, especially the mom, being like, very strict, like forcing their kid into a lot of different extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. Like hitting is often involved.
Yeah, physical punishment. Well, I do feel like physical punishment is more a dad thing. But like the mom is the one who's like very
negative reinforcement.
I think it's also, people call them, like, helicopter parenting style, meaning that they're, like, always over the kid watching what they're doing, like, manipulating everything that they do.
Yeah, like, curfew at whatever time, yeah. Or, like, no sleepovers.
Oof. So, what do you think about this stereotype?
I think it is maybe sometimes really exaggerated because I feel like, obviously, like, every family is different and every parent dynamic is different, so you can't really generalize, I would say. But mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the people that I knew growing up, like, half and half, I would say, like, half of them, the parenting style was very strict and half of them was just, like, very chill. I remember distinctly in primary school, one of my now not friends anymore, because she was very mean to me when we were younger. I low-key think she was bullying me, but I didn't know what that was at the time. So I was like, yes, I will be your friend. But her mom, like, see, this is why I kind of see why she was such a bully back in the day, because her mom was so strict. And I think she took out that, like, stress that she had from her mom in school, like, on other people. And her mom basically would, like scold her on the streets and just like make her cry and make her like stand in the corner in front of everybody. Like, I feel like that was a big thing, where like public displays of like negative reinforcement to like make the kid understand, like, if you are acting this way, I will humiliate you in the public. Yeah. And then she was often hit by her mom, even just like casual playful hits too. And
playful hits. Is it bad to have playful hits? I feel like me and my dad would still do it to each other, you know?
Not like, haha, I'm hitting you, but like, casual, like, hits. Like, what are you doing? Like rude, like, negative reinforcing hits, but not to the point as, like, I'm making you cry. And I know that she had a very strict, like, sleep schedule, strict, like, hanging out with other people's schedule, and, her academics had to be really, really good. And she was a really smart girl. I think she, like, did have really good grades, but I think it was just never enough for the mom. And I know that the mom is from China, who, like, then they came down to Hong Kong. So I don't know if that played a factor into it, like, wanting for your kid what you didn't have. But then on the other hand, like, a lot of my other friends' parents were just pretty chill and, like, very nurturing. Like, it was, like, either or. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very extreme, I feel like. when it came to
interesting.
Yeah, people around me. Because I think my friends from local school, their parents are very strict. And then I have some friends from international school that I just grew up with. And I think their parents were really lax. Actually, no. Some people's parents from international school were also really strict. So mm-hmm. I think it just depends on the parent and the dynamic. Because, like, one of my friends from international school, I think he's going to listen because he's the one who wanted me to put on Apple Podcasts. But he was a very he was a very rebellious kid. And so, mm-hmm. like, I could see why his mom was so strict with him. If you're listening, it's just so funny. He was, like, always the naughtiest one out of the group. But I can see why sometimes, like, the mom would be, like, super strict towards him. Which also brings up, like, a gender difference. Like, I don't know if, like, I mean, I think it just depends. But stereotypically, I feel like boys need more discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, stereotypically, I feel like it is. But I also have, like, relatives that just spoil the heck out of their son because
a boy.
I guess it depends, but
yeah, I feel like it really depends on like the people that you are, and it's interesting because I feel like people have this like expectation of what Asian tiger moms is, but a lot of times I feel like parents, like, they might check some of the boxes, but they don't check all of them. Like, my parents, I feel like, yeah, they're, like, strict, but also not. Like, they never push me to, like, do a lot of extracurricular activities. It's always, like, based on my own will. Like, if I want to do them, then they would support me. But at the same time, they're also strict in a way that they're very strict on my manners. You know, like, you always have to, like, when you greet people, you have to, like, call them by their, I don't know, like, uncle, auntie, and, like, just be very polite. And I think, I don't know, like, I grew up also, like, my dad will, like, do a lot of, like, physical punishment stuff when I'm not, like, obeying them. But yeah, that was just like when I was a kid, they're really strict on me. But when they when I grew up, they kind of become more lax. And I feel like people around me, I feel like comparing myself to like my cousins and people around me, like my parents are like relatively more strict. And I feel like that also plays a factor into why my parents are so strict, because, like, they've seen, like, their cousins who also have kids, and they're, like, really lax on their parenting style, and then, like, their kids are kind of spoiled and, like, impolite all of the times, and seeing that, they feel like, oh, they have to be more strict on me so then I don't become like my cousins.
That makes sense, yeah. It's just very circumstantial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boxes, not good.
Yeah, we don't like boxes. Yeah, I agree. I think my parents were very, like, on the lax side. I feel like they were always, like, they were too nice. And they, like, were too, I mean, I guess, like, nice is a, or, like, to show love, it's, like, very subjective. Like, you being very strict can be a way of showing love. But I think for them, like, showing love was just very nurturing and very, like, sheltered. So I think I grew up very, I wouldn't say spoiled. Maybe, like, I think I was very privileged growing up. But I think that they definitely drilled into me, like, be a good person. And I think that was, like, the biggest thing that they conveyed to me, and I saw through their actions like how to be a good person, and like that included like manners and like being humble. Like that, I think that was one thing that my dad always drilled into me, was just be humble. And he was always like, "Johan, you himhoya." And then when I was younger, he would always be like, "Repeat after me, Johan, you dima," and that would be himhoya. It means like you need to be humble as a person. But I think that my parents like never explicitly said, "This is what you do, this is what you do," but then I like saw through them what they did. And so I think like now that I'm older Like, I really carry those things with me. But I think in terms of, like, extracurriculars, which is another thing, like, another stereotype, right, of Asian parents or, like, Asian mom, mm-hmm. is that you force your kid to do all these extracurriculars and, like, tutor, like, Kumon, like.
Oh, Kumon, I have a story to tell about that.
I never did Kumon, actually. But I feel like that's, like, a stereotype. Like, oh, like, your schedule mm-hmm. would be jam-packed. Like, that is 100% me, which is also, mm-hmm. like, very, like, privileged because I feel like the classes are fucking freaking expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive.
And I think that also, like, speaks to, like, especially in America, how a lot of Asian kids do a lot of tutor. It speaks to, I guess, the socioeconomic status of, like, Asians in general, like, Chinese Asians in general, but mm-hmm. in Hong Kong, I had, like, jam-packed schedules mm-hmm. Every single day, like, after school. And then on Saturdays, like, my whole Saturday would just be English tutor, and then I would do, like, I remember I did a pottery class, and then I did, like, table tennis.
Table tennis. Wow.
Don't know why I didn't do Chinese tutor, because my Chinese didn't help, but I did English tutor. I think because English was so, like, preferred, like, when we were growing up, like, it was so important, and so my mom was, like, English. So I took, like, creative writing, like, public speaking, like.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, like, looking back, it's, like, thank you, like, you know, because it was, I guess, beneficial to me in the long run, but then at the same time, I was, like, holy shit, I'm so tired. I don't know how I managed to do that. Like, after 8 hours of school, I would go to, like, either piano lesson. Like, yeah, my math tutors were at, like, 7 p.m. at night. Like, when I was younger, my dad, because he's, like, in accounting and stuff, he was the one who always tutored me in math when I was younger. And so I remember, like, just sitting with him in the room and just, like, him helping me do math. But he was never, like, super, super strict. I feel like I was always, like, if I got tired, he always just let me rest. Like, he was never, like, very hard on me. And, like, grades in general, I think I thrive under, like, having my own pressure rather than other people's pressure. So I feel like my parents understood that, and they were never they never gave me too much pressure in terms of school, and I just did it on my own. And I think that reflects me now. Like, I just always give myself pressure. Like, my parents never gave me any sort of pressure. Even with, like, later on in life with college and stuff, like, they were always very supportive. So I think, like, yeah, like, my parents were definitely not the helicopter parents. I think they did fall into some stereotypes of, like, no sleepovers. Or, like, if people were sleeping over, they would have to go to my house to sleep over. Yeah, like, I can't go to other people's houses. Yeah, I mean, they were very lax. Like, they were, yeah, very nurturing and very not tiger parent.
I feel like, yeah, my parents are not too, like, tiger-ish either. Yeah, growing up, I think, like, especially for academically, my parents always just tell me that, we will be satisfied as long as, like, you're doing above average. So, like, they don't ask for me to, you know, like, I have to get all A's, straight A's and stuff. But I do agree that I do put that pressure on myself that I always just need to do well and be, like, the number one in class, especially in secondary school, because I feel like the competition just got really heated. However, I do think that growing up, my parents are pretty strict on me because, like what I said, they really care about, like, me having a good manner. And my, yeah, like, your parents, they will, like, set by example, and I feel like my parents do too. However, I think that because they also grew up, like, being physically punished by their parents, so then they feel like that's the right way to do it. So, like, I grew up, like, There was like some spanking, and then like also had to like just stand, I don't know, like stand and like facing the door, and then like, you know what the worst part about it is, like I had to stand facing the door, but then in the back they would be playing TV, and then I would like really be really really tempted to just look.
did they do that on purpose?
I don't know. And then they're like, no, turn around. And then like, if I actually turn around and like watch the TV, I have to like stand for even longer. And even like sometime when it come to when it's like, I don't know what I did, but then I've gotten forced out of the house. And then I was just like crying, and then the whole like all of my neighbors in that hallway can like hear me cry.
Oh.
And I would beg my mom to like, let me go back. Oh my God.
Oh.
And then, yeah, and then I also have a story with like Kumon. And like, I remember when I was a kid, there was like one time I did really bad on a math test. And then, so when I got home, and then my dad saw it, and then like I think he got really mad, and then like he just sat down with me and redo the whole test together. So but then back then, like so you just, it's just simple math, and then like I kind of like count my fingers to calculate it, right? But then back then I always like, when I count one, I always use, what is finger called?
The index finger?
Index finger, yeah. I, like, count with my index finger first. So that would be one, and then two with, like, the middle finger, you know? But then how, like, he thinks I should count is, like, starting with the thumb. So, like, so thumb would be one, and then index finger two. So then that time, because he really wants me to learn to count with the thumb first, so like, every time I, like, count with my index finger first, and then he'll like hit me with a ruler, and then ever since then I'll always count with my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what else? I think another thing is they really don't like it when I'm like eating and like get too distracted by watching TV. So like back then, I guess I just love watching TV, and then like they'll force me to like sit in a way so that my back is facing the TV, so I can actually like watch it, you know. But then I'll like turn around, and then I got like too like focused on watching the TV, and then they will like yell at me, and then I won't have dinner for the night.
Baby summer.
Mm. Yeah, so I think like honestly I feel like because my parents are so strict growing up, so I do feel like I have a good like manner and stuff. I know what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. But I also feel like because there's so many like negative reinforcement happened in my life when I was growing up, I feel like that also plays into how a lot of, I don't know if it plays into like imposter syndrome, like I'm always scared to like do the wrong thing as I grow up. But yeah, I do like find myself a lot of time just like getting overthinking or over worrying about a lot of stuff, like just that fear of like doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I feel like even now, like when I was in Hong Kong, I see a lot of parents just like ignore their kid when they're like crying or like throwing a tantrum and just walk away.
That's me. That was me.
Like even now, it's still the same.
I feel like because like the Hong Kong education system is so intense that the parents feel like they have to be very strict, they have to discipline their kids so then they can actually succeed in this very, very intense education system.
Oh, I was saying like because like the competition is so big that the parents feel like they have to enroll their kids in all these extracurriculars to like catch up to like the next person or like be on the same playing field as like the next person.
Yeah, and like, you know how I feel like being able to play piano now in Hong Kong is like a basic.
Yeah, even when we were growing up, it was already a basic. Yeah. Everyone around me played. Also, my school required like one musical instrument that we had to play. So everyone like around me knew at least one musical instrument.
Yeah, and it's like, well, but like, I don't actually like musical instruments. But then why do I have to do it, you know? Like, it's just, I learned piano for 3 years. But then, like, there's no use after it, and I did not like it. I hate practicing piano, and it was just such a waste of money, thinking it back.
Piano is such an Asian thing for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah. I learned pianos from when I was 3 to when I was 15. Oh, so I played 12 years of piano, and like, I don't know if they do it here in the U.S. I can play, like, I can read and play, but my hand-eye coordination is, like, my left hand and right hand coordination is so bad now, but I had to take exams. I don't know if you did.
I did.
So we have to take, like, level one, grade one, to grade 8. I took up to grade 7. Yeah, took up to grade 7 and then I stopped. Because, like, it was becoming a chore. Like, you were just playing piano to get the certificate. Like, and I don't know what use it had, like, now. Like, no one's going to ask you, what grade did you get?
No, I think, like, it was practicing, like, using both of your brains. Practicing using both sides of your brains. But then I was so bad back then that, like, literally, like, I have no musical talent or whatever. Like, I play like a robot. Like, you know how, like, you have to recite the whole piece when you go to the exam to get your certification? And then you have to recite it. And then, like, well, I have no emotion while I'm playing it whatsoever. Like, my finger literally just remember what those, like, keys are. And then I play it like a robot.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they make you memorize. Yeah. Piano is such, like, a common thing. And I feel like,
Kumon, too.
Yeah, it's just, like, any sort of tutor. I remember I learned Spanish, like, for, like, a good year when I was growing up. Because I think it, like, is such a, like, global international language. Mm-hmm. I was so bad at it. And then I think I stopped because I didn't remember anything.
¿Cómo está?
What does that mean? How are you?
I think so.
Muy bien.
Yes. Y tú. Y tú. I learned Spanish for 1 year in high school, too.
I learned it, like, when I was, like, 7 or 8. But, extracurriculars are so real.
Yeah, I remember, like, back then. It was, like, based on my own will, though. Like, there was one summer I had, like, 3 extracurricular activities in 1 week. I guess that's not a lot. I don't know. Like, that was a lot for me back then. But it was so fun. We get to, like, make our own, like, little, like, dolls, and then we get to make bracelet, and then I also have a painting class.
Creative. You're like, no piano.
No piano.
Yeah, I think the piano helped me a lot with, like, my note, like, I think I can recognize, like, notes, and I can, like, recognize rhythms really easily and, like, harmonize music now because it was so many years. I also learned cello growing up.
Wow, you have so many talents.
Yeah, I did not like it. It was really hard, especially with the exam. Like, I feel like that's what happens in Asian countries, is just everything is made into, like, a certification, and, like, everything becomes, like, more than a hobby. Like, it's not just a hobby. It's like, I'm getting my whatever grade. And, like, I remember, like, meeting people, they would, like, if you told them you learn piano, they would be like, what grade are you? And then, like, if they're, like, at a high grade, you'd be like, wow.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. Like, now I'm thinking about it. Like, so, speaking of Kumon, I think I took Kumon since I was, like, 6 until probably 14, 13. So, like, 6 to 7 years. And then, like, I just hated it. But because of it, I was really good at math, but not anymore. But then, like, it's so interesting how you said about, like, certification, because, like, they have a ceremony every year. And then, like, they mirrored you in terms of how many years you exceed your, how do I say it, like your current academic year. So like for example, let's say I'm a freshman, and if I have exceeded 2 years of my academic level, meaning that I'm already learning math from junior year, then I'll get like silver award. And then if it's more than 3 years, then I'll get like the gold award. And like I took a lot of pride in that back then.
Yeah, it's incentive for you to do better, I guess. Also incentive for parents to like send you there.
Yeah. Yeah, but then like, yeah, I still have those medals and like certification in Hong Kong, but I don't know what to use them for now.
Do you think that the way your parents raised you is the way you want to like raise your future kids if you want to have kids, or hypothetically if you had kids?
I don't know if I want to have kids, but I think I'll be less strict, but damn, I can't imagine myself like being mad at my kid. Like when I see little baby, I'm just like, oh, you're so cute.
Me too.
But oh, I guess like when it comes down to it, when I actually become a mother, then I'll probably have like different mindset. But like I just don't get mad in general. But like ideally, imagining myself to be my perfect ideal parents, I feel like it'll be like a middle between strict and lax. Like I won't be hitting my kids or like yelling my kids, but at the same time I feel like I'll still be strict in terms of like teaching them manners, what not to do, what should do, and also setting a good role model for them. Like I feel like discipline is needed, but not like actual physical punishment, because I don't think that's good.
Yeah, while you were talking, I was thinking about like how I feel like a lot of parents in like Asian at least if Chinese, right, like they have that such of hierarchical respect of elders that I feel like it's weird where if you're like you have like a friendly like friend relationship with your parents growing up, because like a lot of my friends and their parents had like a very like respectable like relationship, like like you would, like for me personally, I didn't really confide in my parents because they were like very, you know, they weren't like a, like my friends would be my confidants, like my parents would be my authoritative figure but also like my respectable figure, so I felt like they were higher than me. And I feel like would you change that, because I feel like growing up I never felt like I could go to my parents for things, and because they were so like PG, like they were very like non-transparent with the things that they wanted to tell me, like they would always hint at stuff but they would never like say it explicitly, they would be very passive as well, like our relationship. So I feel like sometimes I wonder, like as a parent, would I change that to be more like I want my kid to be able to tell me things and feel comfortable to tell me things and have that like less hierarchical relationship that a lot of like Chinese families have, especially like us with the generation above us. But then at the same time, like sometimes I look up some friends who are like non-Chinese or like white, I guess, and they have a really, really close relationship with their mom, like if they're a female, and their relationship is very like best friends. They always say that my mom is my best friend, and that weirds me out because I could never like say that about my I feel like that would be disrespectful to my mom if I ever said that. Like her and I are really close now as I get older, but like I would never do the things
like I would never tell my parents I have I guess a boyfriend, you know, that they're not the first people that I'm gonna go to.
Yeah, or I don't gossip with them like I do my friends. Yeah. And I feel like that relationship is very prominent here in the US. And sometimes I wonder if I want that type of relationship with my kid, like because I really feel like I lacked out on that when I was growing up. But then I'm like, that's gonna be weird to me. Like if my kid sees me as the best friend, because I could never see my mom like that, like gossiping to my grandparents, I cannot imagine that. That's so weird. Or like just like having like that kind of friend to friend banter with my mom, like that's weird. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I would say she's someone I confide in, but like not in the friend way. So sometimes I wonder if I would like change that aspect of me growing up to like be more open in terms of like having like important conversations like sex education that I never got growing up, or like political topics and stuff. So I feel like they could then come to me to talk about these things as they're growing up. But that's so like extremely different from how I was brought up.
That's a good question.
So I wonder,
like, as you're talking about it, I feel like, so it's interesting because I think when I was younger, I do have this like authoritative like fake parent figure, like because my parents are a lot stricter. However, as I grow up, they like started being more lax, and now I actually have a closer and more friendly relationship with my parents. Like, I am super super playful with my parents. Like, sometimes just like they're my friends. Like I roast my parents a lot. Like I make fun of them, and they make fun of me. And then we kind of just like have silly fights. Not like actual fight, but like we have silly fight in the house every single day. Especially with my dad. However, even though we're like playful in that way, but I don't really go to them to talk about like things on my mind, you know, like what I said, like relationship. I don't really talk to them about relationship. Like the most I've done is, you know, oh, I'm dating this person. And then a few months later, oh, I broke up with them, you know? And then they're like, huh? The last time I heard you were still with him, you just got together.
It'd be like that, mom.
And like gossip wise, I feel like my mom does like try to talk to me about like my friends. Like sometimes they'll ask, oh, like how is blah blah doing? Like she always asks how is Crystal doing, and then I'll just be like, oh yeah, she's in LA now, blah 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 blah. You know, like I think she tried to like help me to like open up to her, but then it still feels a little weird to me. Like I don't gossip with my parents, and I don't know, like, yeah, it's weird to just like literally be friend with your kids.
Yeah.
I feel like as of right now, I think I want to keep the type of relationship that I had with my parents with my kids. Like I want to still be playful and like, you know, make my kids comfortable, but at the same time I would like to draw a boundary just so that, I don't know, I just feel like it's so weird sometimes. I feel like my kids should have their own, like, I want to give them their own space, you know what I mean? I don't want to invade their personal private space so much that I have to know everything about them. And I think that is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, the only thing I want to change is that have that open communication that I felt like I couldn't really have with my parents, like, at a younger age, like, now. Which is so interesting because I feel like I'm opposite from you in the sense that I do not gossip to my parents, but I do tell my mom a lot about my personal life. And like what's going on and stuff, that stuff that I would, I guess I wouldn't even tell my friends, like, but I think I'm not that playful with them. Like, I don't like joke around with them as much, but then, you know, like that kind of like relationship, like people have with their parents, it's like, they can call them like bitch, or like they can call them like in a joking way, you know, like that kind of like banter. Like, I think that's when I'm like, I don't want my kid to call me bitch. Like, not in a, like, a bad way, but, like, they're like, what's a bitch, like, to their mom? Like, you know how, like, weird? In the movies that they're, like, I'm a cool mom and like, I don't know.
No, Ginny and Georgia. Ginny and Georgia. Remember that relationship?
Yeah, but like, I feel like Georgia is the one who's like very like friendly to the kid, not the kid who's like trying to be friendly to the mom. But yeah, that kind of relationship just like makes me cringe. Like I could never, because I feel like I want my kid to respect me still in some way. I want them to see me as like someone they can go to, but also someone who's like,
like a mom figure, you know? Yeah. You want a mom figure. I feel like a mom figure is like very comforting. But then a friend is more like an equal relationship where, I don't know, like when you, it's just like there's this feeling of like feeling of you have a mom to like comfort you when you need it versus a friend. I feel like it's still different. And yeah. And, like, what you talk about, like, communication, I do want to, like, communicate with my kids better. Like, whether it is about, like, politics, social justice, and, like, sex, you know? Like, those are things that my parents don't really talk to me about growing up. And I would like to change that.
Yeah, I agree. But I yeah.
Would you tell, okay, weird question. Would you, like, be like, oh, you want, do you want your kids to tell you when they have sex, even though maybe, let's say, they are under 18?
yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like it's just so important to talk about sex openly and, like, equip them with sex education. So, like, if they do have sex, they are having safe sex. And I think that, like, is something in Asian culture or Chinese culture specifically that is so taboo. That, like,
mm-hmm.
also schools have a responsibility to do that. But, like, yeah, parents should educate their kids on that. Because I think that has definitely caused me – I mean, okay, for my, me personally, like, religion plays a factor. So I think that's where it's different. But I don't know. I that's, like, one thing I really want to change with my own kids. Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be same, like – I feel like because we are here now and, like, we are more open with a lot of conversations being in the U.S., I wonder if, like, my friends who in the future have kids in Hong Kong will, like, want to be that more open as well. Because I feel like sex is still such a taboo topic in Hong Kong.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, you have sex, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like whenever people do have sex, it's very in a negative way. It's like,
true.
Oh, they're just sleeping with so many people kind of thing. Like, it's very, like, negative connotation. So I wonder, like, if our generation in Hong Kong, like, will they want to make that change as well? I'm not sure. I feel like the connotation around sex is still so bad that they probably won't.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, also, like, funny story. I remember there was this one time. So, like, a social worker come to our school and, like, talk about, I don't know if it was about, like, sex education, but then at the end, there was, like, this survey. And on that survey, they asked the question, like, do you think it's okay to have sex before marriage? And at the time, well, I put okay in the survey, but then, like, my friends saw it, and they're all, like, so shook. Like, it's like, I'm like an outlier who thinks sex before marriage is okay. And they're like, oh my gosh, what? You think we can have sex before marriage? And I was like, I was shocked that they are shocked because I thought that was the norm. Because I watched too many American movies and then everyone just having sex randomly.
True.
Like, because like, I watched so much Western movies, I feel like it's okay to do it, but then I realized not everyone think that way.
Yeah, I feel like some people just, it's just very attention drawing, I feel like, whenever you talk about sex.
Yeah.
Even like some of my friends who are like very open with their sex life, like it's still like barely talked about.
Interesting. Well our whole parent talk just turn into a sex talk.
I know, because that's like what was lacking from my, like, me growing up.
Yeah.
Which definitely, like, affects, like, adult me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The struggle. Mm-hmm. But so I guess we kind of talked about how our relationship with our parents are now. I feel like it happens to everyone. Like, you just kind of get closer with them mm-hmm. as you get older.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm just more open and honest. I don't know how I was lying to them all the time in high school. Like, I don't know how I did that. I would feel so bad now. Like, now I just tell my mom everything. Like, I can't lie to her, even though I know if she's going to be, like, mad or, like, disagreeing with what I'm doing. Like, I still have to – I have to tell her. I was like, I don't know. And I think that's really good. I wish I, like, mm-hmm. did that in high school, though. But I think mm-hmm. that's just growth.
It's also interesting because at the same time, like, I feel like not only us are growing, but we have to understand that our parents are also growing as – parents, you know, they're learning about, like, what's the best way to teach the kids, what's the best way to communicate with them. And yeah, I've definitely seen that change in my parents over the years too. Like, they've become a lot more, I'll say, yeah, like, supportive of me, and they really trust me to that I can take care of my own shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, now, oh my gosh, one big thing that I realized, just thought about, is, like, when I was in high school and stuff, I felt so rebellious swearing. And so I would never swear in front of them. Because even if I said you, like, which is, like, a not really, like, sweary yeah. word in Kanto, that yeah. they would, my mom would be like, what? What are you saying? Don't say that. But now I just full on yeah. just, like, swear in front of them.
Well, my parents, they're still, like, a little, like, taboo. Swearing is still a little taboo in my household. But, like, you know how I'll be watching TikTok, and then people just keep swearing in that TikTok, and then my dad would be, wow, like, why is he swearing so much?
It's just so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, like, the parenting style that we grew up in. I think it does, like, shape our personality a lot. Do you think so? Unconsciously.
I think part of it of because my parents were so nurturing to me, and so, like, I don't know, sometimes my mom still asks me if she thinks they spoiled me, because I think they were just very, like, shelter and, like, protective of me when I was growing up. And I just tell them, no, I don't think so. But I think maybe compared to some other people who their parents were stricter, it is more easier on me. And now, like, as I'm older, I have to learn more things. Like, I remember, like, going to school when I was younger, because my mom would drive me, like, to school every day when in primary school. And the first time I, like, went to school on my own was, like, in, like, form two or something. Like, I was older when I went to school, like, on my own for the first time. So I think just, like, in comparison to other people, I did have to learn things on my own, like, kind of later, which is, like, not a bad thing. Like, it is, like, a place of privilege. But then at the same time, when she asked me that, I was like, no, I don't think so. Like, I think that, like, they really instilled in me good manners and good, like, habits. So I think, like, that is the most important thing. Like, if you shelter a kid too much, but then, like, you don't teach them how to be a good person, then I think that's when, like,
yeah,
the two negatives kind of clash.
Mm-hmm.
I think it shaped my personality in wanting to do more for myself. Like, I really wanted to be independent after being sheltered excessively. Mm. And I even, like, sometimes, like, I remember when I got older, when my mom would be like, I want to come pick you up from school today and stuff, I'd be like, no, I'm going home on my own. I want to be independent. Oh, one bad thing I think of my personality that I think stemmed from them being so overprotective of me is that I am very impatient. Because I think, like, when I was younger, like, if I wanted, like, I don't know, like, if I wanted to go to a park on Sunday, my friends were like, okay, let's go. Like, a lot of things that I maybe wanted to do that was really fulfilled really easily.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, going places, like, seeing friends, like, that was very, like, accessible to me. And so I think that translated into me just being very impatient. And I think that's just something that I have to deal with. Like, my patience tolerance level with myself is so low. Like, I feel like with other people, I'm very patient and like listening to other people and like spending time with other people. But when it comes to myself, I am just so impatient with myself, which is, has been a bad habit. And I think that is how like that kind of translated. And I think just like my parents are genuinely good people. And I think my dad is just like very, very, both of them, they're very generous people. And I think that just kind of translated into my love languages, I think. Like, I love, like, my top, one of my top love languages is acts of service. And I think I just like doing things for people because I saw them do a lot of things for people around them, even if it was like a random like friend of a classmate. Like, it was just, it didn't even have to be people close to them. How about you?
I think like because both of my parents are working parents growing up, so I didn't get to spend as much time with them versus I actually spent a lot of time with like quote unquote nanny. Like, I have a, like, this auntie, like my nanny, I always go to her house like after school and stuff. But then she spoils me. She's like super, super protective and like also germophobia. and then like, I think like that like kind of shaped like two side of me back then. Like when I'm like with my nanny, like I'm usually more rebellious just because like she's very protective of me. But then like when I'm with my parents, then I'll become like very like obedient and like I listen to them and everything. But in terms of how it shapes my personality, I think going back to like what I've mentioned before, I feel like because growing up, a lot of times like when I do something wrong, like I get a punishment after. Like, I get that, like, negative reinforcement. So that translate into how, like, now a lot of times, like, I'm just very scared of, like, doing the wrong things. Like, I feel like a lot of times, like, some of my action will be motivated by a sense of fear. And I also feel like because my parents, they're working parents, that's how I see parents should be. Because I know, like, growing up, like, even a lot of my friends, they have, like, a stay-at-home mom to, like, take care of them. But then that never, like, got to me because I'm like, oh, I'm going to be my mom. Of course, I'll be working. Like, I'm not going to stay home and take care of my kids. And that, I think, is a very big part of how I envision my future. And I think, like, in terms of, like, being a role model, they just, growing up, they are also very, like, respective of the elderly, and that's what I learned from them. And they're also super hardworking, and I think, like, I also got that from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the stay-at-home mom narrative is changing.
Yeah, yeah. My mom is younger, so...
Mm-hmm. But in general, like, I feel like the norm has changed to where, yes, women should be working as well. Like, women's role is not to stay at home, which sounds so, like, old-fashioned, but I don't think it shifted until only, like, a few years ago.
I think so, yeah.
I know it's been an hour. I didn't think that we would talk for this long about this topic for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there are a lot of things we can cut.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how do we end this?
Woo!
Woo! Okay, that's it!
I'm just kidding. Well, that is our 7th episode.
Yeet! Hope you enjoy it.
Yes, and follow us at Made in Hong Kong Pod on Instagram. We have been posting reels!
Reels!
Yes, yeah. So we want to post more. If you want to see them, follow us.
Become the next TikTok star. Real star.
Real stars. And let us know what parenting style you grew up in.
outro music.